So
you very know, easy.
Mike,
it's,
Mike,
it's
Mike said a border. So I would like to hear what you guys have to say, and then maybe you know I'm sure we kind of all have the same ideas. I think is you know why
like
we get along.
Our each of our top five probably has a lot of overlap.
Exactly.
I would be willing to bet that, yeah, we're right there on all.
But while Lee is thinking, mine, 100% the border. That is one of the biggest issues that I think this country is going to have moving forward for a long time. When you've got, I'm going to use 20 million, and that number, but who you talk to could be a little high, could be a little low.
But, I think that's a very fair.
But 20 million people that have come into this country that for a generation or more need to figure out how to assimilate if they want to, need to figure out how to survive, how to work, how to do all of that stuff. And in the meantime, they're going to be either supplemented by our government or whatever percentage of that 20 million. And let's say it's a remarkably low percentage, but there's a percentage of those people that wish harm on this country. And that's the part that really concerns me. Say it's half of a percent, half of a percent out of 20 million. How many people came into the country?
10,000.
That want to do harm.
That's 10,000.
At half a percent.
No,
is it that low, or is it 2%? Is it 3? So that's the part that concerns me, and that has nothing to do with my pocketbook.
And look at the numbers game, though. So when you say what's it called? 20 million. There's 350 million people in this. That's 1 in 15 people have come here over the last however many years. 1 in 15. Cross that border. That's insane.
It is insane. And that's the part that really has me concerned about the future of this country.
And again, it goes back to men being pussies. Like, we should have never tolerated this, ever. This issue transcends party lines. This is protecting your nation. And unfortunately, I guess this goes back to, I don't care about politics. Or out of sight, out of mind, the ostrich effect, just shove your head in the sand.
I believe it was about $5 billion remaining to finish the border wall that didn't get put up. And we can look back, I think some contractors actually got a portion of their contract, even if it got canceled. So maybe of that $5 billion,
got paid to not build
it. Several hundred million got spent to not build it.
Do you guys remember that GoFundMe that started after that?
But think about...
I remember some people going to prison over.
Think about the amount of money we've given Ukraine and then compare that to the $5 billion for our southern wall. It's a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
And that's it really does scare the hell out of me. And there's also, I'm worried about illegal immigrants voting.
So they don't care about the actual votes, in my opinion. They care about the bodies because, like I said, it's all about the illusion. As long as they have the numbers, they'll make sure that the votes get in there. So, but you're right. Even if they did rely on the immigrant vote, traditionally, first-time voters that are immigrants are going to vote Democrat.
Right. And now imagine you're a politician and all you have to say is, if the Republicans win, you're going back.
What, I don't know if you guys heard this, in Illinois, you have your first illegal immigrant that is not a citizen, that is a police officer.
Naperville, I believe. Who were we discussing that with?
Would that have been...
Was that Joe? No.
No.
That wasn't Joe.
It was...
Who'd you talk to? Vince? Was it at Summerfest?
I believe it was Vince Logan.
Vince Logan, that's what
it was. Vince Logan.
So what do you want to bet says we're going to see in the future is a bunch of...
Sorry, Vince, if we're wrong about that. I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I believe it was Vince.
Yeah, it might have.
How realistic is the scenario where you've got a bunch of armed illegal immigrants given authority by our government that are going to come and try to enforce laws onto American citizens? What do you want to bet says they leverage their citizenship to do the bidding of the government? I see that being a very realistic scenario.
Earlier, so all of us here, obviously very pro-firearm.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my FOID for a long time. I'm assuming the rest of you have as well. And an Illinois court earlier this year deemed illegal aliens are allowed to possess a firearm without a FOID.
I did not know that.
Yeah, 100%.
It was a self-defense case, right, that stipulated that? Wasn't it somebody, I think...
I believe it was a self-defense case.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's easy when the cop is like, let me see your car, and be like, no comprende?
But But for real.
Like,
but how screwed up is that?
That is unreal.
That had I not had a Foyt and I had a firearm that was I inherited and I never went and got a Foyt, I could be charged, convicted, have my life turned upside down, I'm a felon, could then never go get a Foyt.
Yeah.
But then somebody that came into this country illegal, and I'm one that believes if you came into the country illegally, every day you're here, you're committing a crime.
Yes, you're a felon.
So you are a felon, but it's okay for you to have a firearm in that instance. And that to me is, obviously to me that's wrong and it's messed up, but it's a good example of just how screwed up our court system is.
Like I said, they're not working for us.
Which is kind of like that whole law-abiding citizen, right? You know, as an American citizen, living in the state of Illinois, that you're required to do that, and you being a law-abiding citizen, you're going to pay for that Foyt card, and you're going to do exactly what they ask you to do, right? So you've gone and you've paid your due for that, and that makes you a law-abiding citizen, as where, let's say that they do go against the Second Amendment, and they say, okay, nobody can have guns, right? Well, you would probably turn that over, and who's going to have that? Pretty much the criminals, right? Because they're not going to follow that law. And like you said, every day that they're here, they're a felon. They are a criminal.
Right.
And they're not being held to the same standard, but they're going to be given the same constitutional rights that we are without having
more.
Or more.
Yeah. Let's go back to gun confiscation and what's going on in Venezuela.
I mean, that's a good one. They're literally in an uprising right now at this second. As we talk, their elections were very obviously manipulated in Maduro, the guy sitting in there right now. He is and was calling for his military and his police force to start slaughtering members of the public who were trying to gather in the street to protest this. It is eerily similar to what we saw pan out in 2020. And it's terrifying. I mean, honestly, because they came in, they confiscated the guns, and the public has no means of protection. A government that wants to take away your guns is afraid because they're about to do something that you're going to want to shoot them over. We overcomplicate things.
Yeah, I saw a great meme. Did I share that with you guys?
I'm not sure.
It was Tom Hanks played the guy in, what's the movie?
Forrest Gump.
And he said, in 1776, the British tried to take our guns. We shot them with them.
Yeah. I mean, it.
History doesn't lie, right? History does not lie. So any government that has came to take away firearms from citizens.
Look what's happening in Australia.
Has got the short end of the stick, right?
Yeah, few if any governments.
The Germans did it, right? I believe so.
I think there's everyone. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that there's.
I feel pretty confident in saying that there
was a gun confiscation that came
Mao in China, and I think in the Soviet Union, and then Germany, and I think those are all. I think we're on pretty solid ground
and
saying
now,
that.
And now we're saying Venezuela, some
confiscation prior to
Australia did the gun buyback.
They sure did.
New Zealand.
Yeah.
Again, how are the guys? How's the border to the north of us doing? Canada, they're real.
No, they cracked down on their gun laws too.
Yeah, there has been some
real heavy
restrictions.
Too,
right? Oh, a ton.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. I think there still is gun ownership.
But it's slowly chipping away.
You can own a pistol. I think it's just shotguns.
That may be true. That may be true. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, America's top hat. Sorry,
Canada. I'm just curious. You know, I'm just curious to see, like, you know, to see, like, what other countries are really forcing us to that point.
Yeah.
Or their citizens to that point.
I think that, you know, we're very unique in that the amount and the extent to which we're, you know, allowed to exercise that freedom, and just sort of the fact that it exists is very, you know, it's very exceptional in world history and politics. It's not common for people to be as free to own weaponry as we are in the United States for the past 200 and plus years.
So I wanted to ask you guys, too, your thoughts on when we talk about who we answer to and, like, you know, for God and country, we were discussing, like, where it all went wrong.
Yeah,
the path from society away from God. And how much do you guys think that, like, plays a role in what we're seeing today? Because that is the ultimate power. Like,
well,
I'm
going to offer, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to offer this idea. Zero. And the reason I say that is because I'm not religious at all.
And that's fair.
Not, like, at all.
No.
Right? And at the risk of sounding narcissistic, I think I'm an extremely good person. I try and help numerous people. I try and teach my kids right from wrong. I hold them accountable. I love my wife. I don't cheat on my wife. I adore my wife. Like, she needs that ego boost.
Brownie points. You get another gun.
Well played.
But, you know, I consider myself a good employee. I consider myself a good coworker. And I do all of that not because I feel like I'm answering to a higher being. I do that because when I look in the mirror, I have to answer to me. I have to sit there and go, did I have an opportunity to help somebody today? And I didn't. And if I didn't, why? Should I have? So maybe that is narcissism. Maybe that's the definition of narcissism. I don't know. But I don't answer to anyone.
What do you think, Mike?
I was atheist, agnostic, or whatever you want to call it, until about 6 months ago.
No kidding.
Oh, my God. I didn't.
Never knew that.
I used to mock religion. And I had one of those, like, aha, come to God moments. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty powerful. But I do, like, so I used to think the exact same thing as you. And I'm not pushing religion on anybody, for the record. But I do think that when you take it that next step, so, like, I do all these things for me. I'm a good person. I'm this, I'm that. But when you answer to God, it gives you that courage and that lights that fire in you to do what's right for all, not just for you. What's right through the eyes of the all-powerful, through the eyes of God. And whether or not you're religious, whether or not you're Catholic, Christian, whatever you want to call it, there's really no negative in a society that, you know what I mean, like, revolves around.
Right, there's no downside.
No, and I'm not trying to, I didn't want this to turn into a religious conversation, but I can't help. No, but I can't.
I think
help.
We've gone.
Yeah, but I can't help but notice.
Everywhere else.
That society, the moral degradation, and, like, the further people stray from God, the worse shit gets, man. Like, for real, like, as a society, like, we're fucked right now. And, I mean, I don't know if there's a correlation. I don't know if that is the hope that we need, if that's, like, the missing link. And it was a genuine question, and I didn't know. I know where Joe stands, because we've had this discussion. Not sure about you guys.
Nobody else knows where I stand.
Yeah.
What? No.
So are we going to find out now?
No, we can. No, Joe.
I'm on the same boat as Joe, you know. I'm not a very religious person. Do I have my moments where I might think of a supreme being? You know, possibly, you know, but then, you know, sometimes I look up at the stars, like when I'm out camping in the middle of nowhere, and, you know, you're like, man, there's so much more out there, you know. So I think that it relies in my heart that I'm a good person, you know, and I try and do better just because if I'm a good person, I feel that I can get a good sleep at night, right? Like, it's inside me that I want to be a good person. I want my children to be a good person. You know, in your eyes, like, am I a sinner? Like, yeah,
we're all sinners, man.
Everyone does something that, like, they're not proud of. We're not always pissing excellence, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to have faults, right? But we're going to learn from those faults. And, you know, I don't think religion is necessarily what makes you a good person. I think that applies fear to some people, I think, right? There's certain people in the world that maybe need a fear to be a good person.
Well, that's a very good point, because that's what I was like when that fear in God was lost. Is that where society goes astray? Like, collectively, like, that ultimate, you're answering to the ultimate authority. And this wasn't a question of, like, personal beliefs.
No, I'm just
it
saying
was more so it. Like, is that a contributing factor to, you know, shit falling apart around us?
Now I will say this to answer that question. Yes, I think that's a factor. I think there's a lot of people out there that don't have a strong personality, that need to lean on someone or something or have a guiding light. Or maybe they don't have enough self-esteem or confidence to say, I need to look at the mirror every night and look myself in the eyes and know I did the right thing, because they don't value their own opinion of themselves. So they have to turn to someone else and go, I hope I can be a good person according to this.
Yeah, someone who sets a bar.
Yeah, for... here's the parameters.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm gonna live within those parameters.
That's why, sort of going back to the question about like what's you know, what's our biggest problem? I would say, you know, wokeness. And to
wokeness.
To define wokeness, you know, so that just people, you know, maybe, and I'll probably do a poor job, but you know, this idea of social justice, this idea of relativism, cultural relativism, where, you know, sort of nothing matters, or the only thing that matters is power. I think are, you know, those kinds of ideas have penetrated so many of our institutions in this country, even our religious institutions.
Oh, absolutely.
Have been penetrated by these ideas that, you know, you shouldn't judge people as much. That the person's intrinsic, you know, the group that you belong to matters more than the individual. Those things are really, really just when you think about pitting men against women, you know, feminist critiques, critical theory, you know, feminism being, I think, sort of blossoming from critical theory, just this idea that, you know, criticize religion, criticize government. Criticize the relationships between men and women, criticize the family, and the relentless critique of all that comes from a very, very dark place. If there is such a thing as, you know, as evil, I think that, you know, evil lies at the root of that. You know, isn't that one of the seven deadly sins? Envy.
Oh, for right? Sure.
Pitting people against each other. In all those different ways and all those different forms, you know, it's gotten to the point, right, where we almost had a former president and a presidential candidate who, you know, you could say 50% of the voting public supports him and maybe another 50% doesn't, depending on how things go. But, you know, I've heard people say, I wish he had died. You know, I wish that guy had put a bullet in his head.
I have trouble understanding
people that. Yeah, I have trouble understanding it too. But I don't have trouble understanding it from that perspective. That, you know, that's the point that all that stuff has brought us to. I think, you know, 20 years ago, you know, and people blame Donald Trump for that. They believe that he is responsible almost single-handedly for causing that, right, for bringing that out. I don't personally believe that, but I think there are plenty of people that do. And so, yeah, if I had to point to one thing that, you know, that our biggest challenge is, we need to look at the roots of where those ideas come from. They're steeped in Marxism. When communism was dying in the late 80s, early 90s, as the Soviet Union started to collapse, the Marxists in our society had a crisis on their hands, and they saw that the world, it was being exposed to the failures of what that ideology is, and so they sought to reinvent themselves in the wake of communism failing, and they said, well, it's no longer a class struggle. It's not the poor against the capitalists, right? It's not the workers against the capitalists. What it is, we'll just create the divisions everywhere we could find them. And so the effort, if you can't bring about utopia on Earth by turning working class people against producing people, capitalists, if you can't do it that way, then maybe what we could do is we could tear down everything. And by tearing down everything, it goes from the family to even your gender, right? We'll tear down the idea that there's a certain thing that constitutes a man and a certain thing that constitutes a woman. We'll criticize that. We'll criticize what a family is, what a family unit is. And we'll say that these kinds of families, these other kinds of families, these alternative families, that those are equal to a man and a woman and kids. We'll look at a justice system and will relentlessly criticize the justice system, will relentlessly criticize the Constitution. And all of those, basically, like I said, critical theory, I think would be the biggest problem that we have to grapple with as a society. And so many of the conversations that I have heard around this table have, I think, the roots go back to those ideas.
How do you propose we put an end to it? Because
by these conversations and being fearful, you know, when you call people pussies, like, we have to be able to stand up and counter those ideas with better ideas.
So what would you say to, and I've witnessed this happen, like, we talk about, you know, I personally believe that liberalism, leftist, it is at the point where it can be defined as a mental disorder. I mean, these people are...
Well, I think it's important to define the differences between, right? So, like, if liberalism is, having lots of freedoms, freedoms to choose your sexuality, freedoms to choose your religion... freedom to choose things that are unpopular.
So you can
freedom to have speech that's unpopular. That's, you know, classically sort of like liberal things, and I think that those things are good, and they can be, in the extreme, they can be problematic, but in general, those are good things to have in your society, right?
Absolutely.
Where you're sort of pushing boundaries. But if it's wokeism, where you're
not only
twisting that to turn people against each other, that's the problem.
Yeah, you're free to do whatever you want as long as you're not jamming it down everybody else's throat, you know? And that's where we find ourselves now, is the woke mind virus.
Yeah, I think it was Peter Thiel that said, if you wake up, and I can't remember the percentage, I'll probably get that wrong too, but he said something along the lines of, when you live in a country where 60% of the people believe in the same thing, and 60% of the institutions believe in the same thing, you're already in North Korea.
True.
60%.
Absolutely. I mean, it's enough of the majority to...
Right, and that woke ideology and that those woke ideas are so pervasive in so many places. If you believe what people are saying, and I think there's good reason to believe what people are saying, if you believe that some of the problems that happened with the Trump assassination result from diversity, equity, and inclusion, that you had, you know, three women on his detail that
and had one no of business which, being there.
I
apologize for interrupting.
No,
it was obvious there were several people there that had no business.
Yeah, there was some ineptitude.
100%.
Yeah, the ineptitude could have been a man as well.
Just common sense, man. If you got a guy that's 6'3", 270 pounds, why are you putting a 5'4" woman that's supposed to shield him from bullets?
Yeah,
that's just common sense.
Yeah. So if you subscribe to that and that is true or closer to the truth, you know that's. Sorry, I think I did lose my train of thought. I wish I could listen to the tape and go back.
60%.
Yeah, that's where you are. You're in North Korea. It's not a lot.
I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, no, I don't. That's why we're having clearly we're not, because you know.
Right. I still think it's
we're
bizarre.
We're able to have this, and this will get posted, and you know,
right.
Not taken down, and you know, our parents and the other 12 people that listen to us will
end up in slave labor.
Yeah. But
sorry, kids. Bad news.
So we're not. But I mean, you know, like, where is that tipping point?
And
I think they made a mistake by going so extreme so quickly. And
but they didn't.
The past few years, it got pretty extreme.
It did, but I mean, they've been planting seeds for decades.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that was gradual.
It was working.
And it did work.
Yeah, we were the frog in the boiling
boiling pot of water. Yes, 100%.
But these past few years...
And I think Donald Trump did, you know, and I think that's why some people that, like you said, that are maybe more low information, they look at Trump and they blame him for what happened, and he's just a symptom of the problem, right? If there wasn't all this wokeness, if there wasn't all this, you know, so many people feeling angst and pushing back against it, Donald Trump wouldn't be nearly as popular as he is.
I mean, he's just saying.
You wouldn't need a Donald Trump.
Yeah, right? I was going to say, well, ultimately, I don't care what was happening socially, whether it's the woke stuff, all that. We needed a Donald Trump just because of everything that's happening behind closed doors. Like, the number, the debt doesn't lie. You know what I mean? Like, what? There's a bunch of shit that's keeping us distracted from what is really happening. Like, America is reaching a point where we're either going to succeed or fail. And just, what are we, 30, how, 30 what, $35 trillion?
I was going to say 34 and a half, so it's yeah. In that area.
That's insane. I remember when Bush was
all insane.
When Bush was in office, I was losing my mind because we just broke into double digits. I mean, this shit.
Look at the interest we pay.
I know.
Just the interest.
And here,
is ridiculous.
And here's a great question: if they can just print money, why don't they just print it and pay it off? Why are we paying it? Like, if they have that.
Right. If printing the money, and like Joe Biden said, printing the money doesn't cause inflation.
Yeah, just print it.
Why not just print it, pay it off, and hey, we're good to go.
And so
we're all squared up, buddy. Figure that one out.
This is why people being ignorant and not paying attention to politics is so fucking dangerous. And this is why I think there needs to be some accountability.
I agree with all that.
And here goes my next question. Would be, at what point is a modest amount of violence acceptable? And I'm not talking like all-out revolution and all that, but these people that are like, nah, I don't pay attention, but I have a real big issue with this and I'm really loud, or all these, you know, fat middle-class white women that love come out. At what point do you say enough? Because we're at a point where these people are a real threat. They're communists. Socialism is not a thing, man. Socialism is just a pretty way to say a communist.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And we are at that point. Like, there's no denying that. Our country is drowning in debt. These creatures have invaded all institutions, whether it be the banking system, the school system, the healthcare system. Woke is everywhere. I am friends with an EMS coordinator and the director of an ER where all of their continuing education right now for the emergency department staff is dedicated and focused on DEI shit. Like, literally, their continuing education is about, like, pronouns. And
so that's what I say all the time as far as DEI is concerned. First of all, I had gotten on a DEI board at the local high school.
Good for you.
My wife thought I was nuts. My friends were like, there's no way you're lasting on that board whatsoever.
No, this is how you do it.
But
good.
That's what you have to do, right? You have to go there, and you have to be the check. You
yeah.
have to be the balance. But the important part of recognizing that and fighting it is not being quiet about it. And to answer your question directly, no violence yet. Like, I don't think we're there, because we still have opportunities to get the right people voted in. And ultimately, that's part of what, you know, we're trying to do.
Absolutely.
Is to, you know, we encourage people to register to vote. Do your research on your candidates. I've started doing a bunch of research, and I'm going to post up.
And I just want to be clear, when I was saying modest amount of violence, what I'm talking about is the guy screaming at the top. You all know that obnoxious fool that is out there doing what do you think is going to happen if you just backhand him? I mean, shut up, because I'm so sick of him.
While ironically supporting his right to do that.
Yeah, I'm sort of
agreed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a yin and the yang.
See, but that herein lies. So if his beliefs were in line with America's core values, yes, I support that. The second you start pushing a communist agenda, that crosses a whole different line, man.
I do agree with you that communism, socialism runs counter to a lot of what it means to be American and in some ways our Constitution.
I totally
agree. But at the same time, we do have the freedom of expression.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the reality is that whether people are true believers and they're informed, so they're, you know, they're dyed in the wool socialists, communists, whatever term you want to, progressives, whatever term you want to put on them. I think they're, you know, so let's say that, you know, 10 or 20% of those people are like legit and they know their arguments and, you know, as misinformed as they think they are, they just believe in it. And then I think there's a big percentage out there that just are, they're useful idiots, right?
Yeah.
They're along for the ride. That being said, our election, the 2020 election was won on the margins of that, right?
Yeah.
You could still strongly make the argument that let's say 40% of the people really are the useful idiots and the people who are true believers. That's still 40% of fellow Americans. See, and I have to respect that. Like I, as an American, I say to myself, I have to think that those people might have perspectives or ideas that I doubt it, but I have to say, okay, like maybe there is something, right? And maybe they're even at the very bottom level, because you know that quote by Peter Thiel that, you know, you 60% and you're in North Korea, it cuts both ways, right? You get 60% of people that believe exactly the way we do, and those people live in North Korea.
So how does the Constitution work with that belief set?
It works what we're talking about here. Like we exchange our ideas in the marketplace,
but that
we get just as we don't necessarily have to get just as loud. Maybe we just need to work smarter, right? But we get our messages, we get our ideas out there. We show the benefits of our Constitution, what has worked, and we continue to try to get it. And like I think we not be pussies, but in all those ways. And hey, like seriously, like is force always on the table? Force is always on the table.
Yeah. I think that's what keeps people in
every
line.
Interaction.
It 100%
does.
Hopefully
it does. So yeah, you know, is it on the table? But are we at the line yet? Hell no.
The point that I was trying to make is a little bit of fisticuffs versus all out like war, because, I mean, tensions are high.
Yeah.
And it's fucking scary, man. And the point I was trying to get at asking you that is, one, because I respect your opinion, and two is, like, I was going back to the illusion. So people like you, you're like, I have to respect if it's 40% of the population that believes that. I mean, me personally, there is nothing you're going to get to tell. Dude, Joe Biden's 75-year-old half a retard. He did not get that many votes. It was all fake, but the illusion that he did puts people in positions like you, where you're like, hey man, like, whoa, let's think about this, which is I'm much more impulsive than you. And I get that. And which is why I like bouncing ideas off you. But at the same time, do you see how big
I do
of a impact that illusion has just on your train of thought right there?
Yeah. Those are valid fears. But I think that the alternatives are so perilous, and I think that line between force and some kind of less is one that we need to be super, super, super judicious and super cautious.
I do agree. Absolutely.
And the summer of love, right? Like that was, you know, that was, there were a lot of those boundaries were beginning to be crossed. Also, you know, was it scary? Yes, but you know, being scared isn't the justification. Like,
you need to be threatened, not scared.
Yeah, part of not being a pussy is not being scared by things. You can be scared, but it's what you do when you're scared. And so, okay, like, yeah, I can take some Antifa violence, and like, I'm not gonna get rattled enough where I'm gonna, like, it's sort of like the thing in sports, right? You don't let the other team take you out of your game just because they've got you rattled a little bit. Antifa was trying to get people rattled.
And it, they 100, that was their job, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So you guys are history. You guys, have you ever read about Mao?
It's a week. It's I know things.
I have not.
So you really,
I'm not an expert on, I haven't read biographies about Mao.
You should. Like, I mean, what we're seeing right now, it parallels that.
Oh, yeah.
To a T.
That, those things I do know enough about, yes.
And we are really, we're living through it.
I mean, if you talk to anyone that, if you talk to anyone that's lived in communist China and has immigrated and feel free enough to speak, if you talk to anyone that grew up in the former Soviet Union and the Soviet bloc countries, I hear it over and over and over again. They see many, many parallels. Yeah,
the Red Guard.
But of course they do, because like it goes back to the what I was talking about earlier, that the wokeness is just, you know, socialism, communism, progressivism, wokeness. Like those are all terms that are interchangeable. It's the term du jour for what they're doing now. And so absolutely, like it's communism in another guise. It's pitting people, you know, some people say that, you know, getting back into the religious thing, there's some people say that Karl Marx, you know, was evil, and there's some people say he was, you know, sort of like, you know, a Satanist. But I think he just tapped into something that is like inherent in human beings, and that envy part, that part of pitting people against each other. Our politicians do it all the time. There's part of what we're talking about with the. We always ask ourselves, you know, how is the Second Amendment, something written so clearly, how does it wind up to be something we even have to have a conversation about? And the reason we have to have the conversation is because it transfers into votes, right? And there are people who will use that division. They will use that to benefit themselves and to get you to go out and vote for one party versus the other.
Because of the illusion.
Yes, they'll pump it up and they'll play the game to get that accomplished.
So in a world where media is controlled by the powers that be, I mean, the algorithms, the you know, it was just put out this week that Google control, you could search, like, you know, children's clothes, and it'll actually search for a specific brand name, child's wear. Like, they change your search. They control everything you see. Mm-hmm. Does it concern you that, yes, this is the right way to go by talking about what we're talking about, but what happens when the people controlling it stop this from getting out? We're there.
Well, and I'm not sure, I understand what you're saying, but that's why I have a certain amount of faith in people, because they started Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar.
Very familiar.
And I love it. So for those of you that are not familiar with Rumble, there's the Rumble website, which is pretty much a competitor, if you want to call it, to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
For YouTube videos and stuff like that. And they're very much about not censoring. So you have the freedoms of speech, and if you want to put up an anti-mask video, you don't have to worry about it getting pulled down. But they were so concerned about being able to put that out there, and they knew that if they used all of the big tech companies, their infrastructure, then they're only as good as what those people allow them to be.
Correct.
That Rumble built, and it continues to build their entire own web sourcing and their entire like IT infrastructure, so that they don't have to be reliant on Google or Amazon Web Services or anything like that.
They got
to
build their own foundation, essentially. You can't base something off of somebody who's potentially going to have the ability to censor you, right?
Do you guys see a disconnect between the people that you know and the things that you're doing in like the world online? Like, there are so many things that I see happening or perceive to be happening because of my connectedness to the web.
And that's,
but then the people that I talk to and the places that I go, and when I have real connections with real people, they don't add up to.
Well, I put very little weight here into that.
Yeah. So I think that if there's a saving grace to this, I think that's, you know, that even though this world, sorry, I'm holding up my phone and like talking about the internet. For people that, you know, you can't see us, but I think that the line is becoming a little bit more blurry, and people are thinking that this electronic world is the real world, and it's still not. And so I think that there's enough people in the world still who are not living their whole lives connected, for lack of a better word, connected digitally.
There's some pretty interesting documentaries out there about how they use that to manipulate into coerce people into thinking, believing.
Well, I mean, it's for sure, right? Because, like, what are even us, like, what would we be called, almost like influencers, right? Isn't that the word for, like, people who are creating YouTube? Like
content creators,
influencers.
I call it porn star.
But I think truth.
But truth. You know,
the truth is it, man.
I'm sorry, Joe,
that I'm stepping on you.
No, you're good.
I just wanted to sort of finish that thought. Like, I think our dedication to relentlessly pursuing and trying to find truth is, you know, if you believe in God, that's what God wants from us, is to continue to pursue the truth. I think the truth will prevail no matter what. It has prevailed over the Soviet Union. It prevailed over the Nazis. It will prevail over communist China.
It'll prevail over wokeism.
It will prevail over wokeism as well. It will win. It may get darker before it gets lighter. It certainly did in the Soviet Union. You know, I've read Solzhenitsyn, and I forget the other author who I read, who was also in a Soviet gulag, and the things that, you know, people were subjected to in that country when they tried to push that woke ideology on them. And Solzhenitsyn's his admonishment to us, or sorry, his advice to us was, you know, live not by lies. And that gets to what you're saying about truth, right? Like, I mean, sorry, about not being a pussy, right? Well, like, standing up for what you know is to be right.
Yes, and I just wanted to clarify that not being a pussy doesn't mean, like, walking around smacking people.
Right, no, no,
like,
I know.
Right? No, yeah. It just means being virtuous and standing on your morals.
Yes.
And be,
saying not, no when yeah, 18 people are saying
not
yes.
Not exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you were saying about the phone world, the digital world, there are some really interesting documentaries. It's got, it's a warehouse of, like, a bunch of Asian children that just, there's lines and lines. There has to be a million phones, just all in their fake accounts that go and they comment on stuff, and they're called bot farms, I think, or something like that. Okay. But they're used to sway public opinion. And they go and they create the narrative. And these are, like, it's all smoke and mirrors, man.
But that's why we need to build up people's...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Joe. I just want
to... No, you're good. Go ahead, Joe.
We have to build up people's confidence. We have to teach people that it doesn't, for the most part, other people's opinion, and when I say other people, I mean society, of what you are and who you are doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Now, when I say I don't care what people think of me, I mean that with the exception of the people I care about, right? Like, it doesn't mean you just don't care about anything. If somebody doesn't know me, why would I put any value in their opinion of me? Because it can't be valid because they don't know me. And, again, holding up the phone, a good tool at times, some of the social media stuff, has been so detrimental. So detrimental. I mean, in the beginning, how many divorces happened because exes found each other on Facebook and they reconnected. And I see all sorts of people posting fabulous vacations. Very rarely do I see anybody post their dirty work boots and go, that was a 17-hour day. That's not glamorous. That's not...
Nobody posts their debt on Facebook.
Personally, if I saw Joe here pop up and, 17-hour work day, look how dirty my boots are, shooting him a text, keep grinding, cuz, killing it, nice job. But that's not what people do. They want to see the palm trees, the boats, all of that. And that's not reality.
That's Joe showing off his white privilege.
Go ahead, Joe. Do you have it anymore?
No.
Did you lose it?
I kind of did. I was just saying that, the whole cell phone, man, social media, it's really fucking up the youth. You know?
Yeah.
It really is. Like, you know, you were talking about social in influencers and content creators, right? I wouldn't consider you a content creator. A discussion that maybe people could take something with. We all have very similar views to a certain extent, right? Certain similarities. But you might view something slightly different than somebody else does. And I have four great friends that I've had for fucking 20-something years now. And we still have constant contact at least once a week.
That's awesome.
It's a lot more than that. And it's been the same group of guys and a female. And the discussions, even though we are all individuals and we all have slightly different opinions, we all can agree for the most part on the same thing. One, we never have arguments. And I call it like our group. Right? We never have arguments. Nobody's ever like, oh, this person pissed me off or that person pissed me off. Everything is dealt with immediately. And with like content creators, they're just like searching for views, right? Yeah. And I feel what you're doing is not searching for views, right? You're trying to get people to think and make educated decisions off of facts. You're forcing people to look at facts, right? You could say, well, I want to be able to own any type of firearm. Well, an AR-15 is fully automatic and can shoot, you know, around the size of a cannonball. And it'll knock somebody on their ass when they get hit with it. Well, none of that is factual, right? So you actually have to go and look. So I think these conversations are, it's not just content that's being created. It's making people discuss things. And like you said, how do we fix situations is by having conversations that come up with substance that people can maybe agree or disagree with, but maybe do a little bit more investigating and decide what side. There might be some people who stand on both sides of a line. And discussing and listening to other people discuss and doing a little.
I would say regularly. That's right? Yeah, standing on both sides of the line. There's so many different perspectives.
Right.
And I'm really sorry to cut you off, but you like bring it back to the Second Amendment, right? All of us believe
we all have the same opinion on the Second Amendment, right?
For the most part. Yeah. But I think felons should be able to carry guns. And I've brought it up in the last few podcasts. And it really sparks some interesting conversation because you could be 100% in favor of the Second Amendment and go, what the hell is Joe talking about? Felons should have guns. What the hell's wrong with this guy?
I mean,
right?
A man that protects his child and kills somebody and ends up going to jail for manslaughter is a felon.
Yeah,
and he may have done everything right. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I agree.
Again, like you said, I would agree with that. Now, if somebody's consistently hitting their wife at home, right, and threatening her life consistently and is in and out of jail, but has that.
The problem is they let him out.
Felon status.
That's where some of that.
Correct.
Agreed. Yeah. Correct.
Reform needs.
So at a point, if you are a reformed convict, and I actually know a couple of guys who have considered convicts, right? They had felonies or multiple felonies and have succeeded exceptionally in life, right? Like they turn their life around.
Become a contributing member of society.
And they're honestly some of the greatest guys I know.
Yeah, and Joe, I think your opinion is that they should have all their rights
and,
back.
And they right? and they all should. You've and they done, all
you've,
should.
You've served your time.
If somebody serves their sentence and they fulfill the obligation, then they deserve their rights back.
If the government says, hey, you're good enough to go back in common population with every other person and you're safe, then yeah, you should get all your rights back.
I mean, certain offenses, I think, should be looked at a case-by-case scenario.
Here's where we'll disagree. If the court says, we're going to let you out, but we are not comfortable with you being able to carry a gun.
Maybe they shouldn't be out.
Then you shouldn't be out.
No, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Then you shouldn't be out. Because if that person wants a gun, they're going to get one
anyway. For sure. No, that's a great point. I mean, again, we can go down that rabbit hole. We're talking about institutions that are fucked. We could talk about the prison system.
Yeah.
I mean, system. Yeah, for profit.
We'll probably have to save that one for another podcast. I know.
It's interesting to hear a bunch of different perspectives, even though everyone kind of sees certain things the same way to an extent. I mean, just talking about things.
Yeah.
It makes me want to go do a little bit more investigating into, you know, different aspects. Like, hey, you know, I'll probably go back. I'll probably listen to this podcast, you know, in however long it takes. And I'll get that notification and I'll look at it and I'll hear something in there and I'll chase a rabbit, you know.
Sure.
Like, hey, you know, and that's going to make me, one, a better person for myself. And two, it's going to help me when I have conversations with other people because I'll take either Lee Joe or Mike, I'll take your perspective and I'll include it into what I have. And either, you know, if I was on the blue or red side of the line, I might hop over to another side or whatever color, you know, black and white.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. If I'm in that gray area, it might give me that definitive, you know. So it was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Well, I'm
thanks
I'm
for coming out.
Yeah, I'm really glad you guys decided to do this.
I knew this was going
to
be, you know, lively and interesting. Yeah.
And hopefully I get to come back.
Without a doubt.
Mike, I think you're out.
Yeah. No. Well, no, as much as I do, I say, like, fuck the government, all that. Like, I want to just stress.
You want to love the government. There's a
no,
yeah, right?
I do, because right? our yeah, government no. has the capability to yeah. do such wonderful things, and I am currently working.
I felt very confident that you were going to say that.
Yeah. No, I do, because I'm witnessing it. I am working in a building where it is a very small local government. I know the mayor and the village administrator personally, and I get to see what they do for their community, and it is wonderful. And they're, I mean, and I'm working on a professional level, and I mean, they're bartering with me. You know, it's like trying to save money. No, all money saved is money that my taxpayers or my constituents save. Like, that is the government I want.
Right.
That is the government. Like, if it were us, like, when I say us, I mean working class stiffs, people that have 17-hour days and take pictures of their work boots, watch how quickly shit changes.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to know when our government started. You know, I think some of the angst that's out there is that people have started to feel like their government doesn't represent them.
Oh, I think there's a ton of that.
Yeah.
The second we allowed lobbyists to completely take over DC.
I'm not trying to have the conversation now, but
What I would encourage is anyone that's listening.
Yeah.
Drop in some comments.
That would be
awesome. Whether it's on the website
absolutely.
Or on any of the.
Where did we start to go wrong? Where did, you know, I think Congress has a role that they haven't been playing. But I think there's more issues than that, and I would love to hear what people think about.
Mike had mentioned the Kennedy assassination.
How many subscribers do you guys have right now? Like, combined?
We don't like to talk about that.
On all your plans? No, I'm just curious, because I was going to say, if we can come up with a hard number.
There's four.
Okay.
And they're all here right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we get up to 25, I'll give you Mike's personal number.
Tell me how much you hate the government.
I don't remember how many subscribers total. What I will say is this will be episode 16 and probably 17. I'll probably have to split it in two, which is fine. But we're gaining traction because I really just pay attention more to listens.
Yeah.
And it seems like every episode we put out, a couple other people listen, and then they go back and listen to others.
Yep.
So I think right now we're coming up on 1,500 listens.
Good for you, man.
I think we're still like under 1,400.
And hopefully, like, the censorship doesn't really, you know, kick you back down, and, you know, we have all these algorithms and stuff out there. So that kind of, you know.
And that's one reason we're on Rumble.
Yeah, that's why
I was
a
little surprised.
That's cool.
How quickly the numbers shot up with Rumble.
Right.
But then I thought about it. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be that surprised. You know, that's more, you know, conservative. That's more right-leaning. That's probably more firearm owners and stuff like that. So I was glad we jumped on there. But
Big Brother is real.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely make some communications and hopefully try and get somebody who's anti-Second Amendment on here. You know, maybe multiples and maybe, like.
We have a lead.
Give them a good, heavy advance to get some, like, you know, facts, right?
I'd love to have the conversation. Like,
yeah,
I said, as long as somebody can be civil.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not interested in a bunch of talking over one another.
Yeah, no,
and,
no, I'm not.
Like, that doesn't make for good listening or anything, but. To have that civil discourse in the conversation, I think, would be beneficial to a bunch of people and hopefully even myself. Guys, thanks very much for coming out.
Thanks, Joe and Mike.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us, gentlemen.
Absolutely. You guys are good men.